are now opening the Wednesday, June 5th, Towner Discovery Bay Finance Committee meeting. Has roll call been taken?
Roll call been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Wonderful. I'd like to have any public comment from anyone in the room or on the phone?
There's a hand raised online.
Okay. We'd love to hear the public comment for 3 minutes. And please go ahead.
Yes, who? It's Kirk.
Hi, Kirk.
Hi, guys. So I had a concern about funding. I know we've got a big repair project coming up to the tune of like $48 million. And I was concerned. I'm concerned that, you know, where's this money going to come from? Can we get a bond that big? And I know our financial manager was saying something about, well, you need to have a ratio of 1.25 revenue. I didn't quite understand what it was, but it raised a flag in my mind that as to where can we get these funds and do we have the ability to get those kind of funds. And also, as we're on the subject, of rates and so forth, if we know we have this huge shortfall coming up, why aren't we raising rates like right now, tomorrow? Okay, that's it. Those are my points.
Okay, thank you. And now we will go on to approving the draft minutes from April 3rd.
I make a motion to approve draft minutes from April 3rd.
Second.
Aye.
Yes, aye. And now, Margaret, if we could go on to D, presentations, your bi-monthly financial report, please.
Would you like me to do from the podium or at the desk?
Certainly.
Is there a microphone? I guess it doesn't matter.
There's two.
Two audience
rooms.
Okay, if you're more comfortable there, since there's a microphone.
I've been talking for a while, so whatever you prefer.
Okay, why don't you go on?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much. The first item we have for you today is our bi-monthly update for the financial results, and these are through April 2024. So there's a PowerPoint presentation for you, and happy to go through that with you. As we turn to the next slide, this is just to provide you an overall, next slide please. There we go. This is just to provide you a general overall view of the financials again through April. We'll get into some of the reasons why it does look fairly favorable at this point. I will just note at this point we were able to get our second installment, if you will, from the county, both for our fixed charges on our water and wastewater, our portion for the assessment fee for Zone 9, and then the ad valorem for Zone 8. So all of those, about 95% of those revenues are showing up, if you will, through April, although we're not all the way through our expenses, if you will. So you're going to see some changes, if you will, when we get to the end of the year. Right now, like I said, it looks fairly favorable, but the next slides will go into a little bit more detail associated with that. All right, so turning to the next slide. First of all, we're going to start with water. Water here, we have our revenues shown here. So this is comparing April actuals to April prorated budget. So you can see we're doing fairly well across the board. One area that you see, of course, that we're slightly higher is on our interest income. Again, that is because the board made the decision to invest into a money market and then later on to a local government investment pool called California Class. And so we're earning a higher rate of return and making, if you will, our to the expenses for wastewater. Again, 4.8 million is our total expenses compared to a budget of 5.3. Similar stories here, salary benefits, again, some vacancies has resulted in us having a variance in that area. And we were set to hire facility maintenance costs. Those were from actually a previous year, some costs that we had that were recognized this year. So we just got made aware of this year. And so while they related to prior year, they are hitting our books this year. And that's why you see that variance there. But overall, again, aligning fairly well between the two budget versus actual.
Are we a little bit lower on the consulting fees for actual because we're done with D-Night?
So D-Night is actually hitting your capital budget.
Okay.
And so some of the consulting dollars that were planned for have not materialized.
Okay.
One of them, I can speak personally to myself, is the rate study. The rate study was put into budget for 23-24. We only did a portion of it. Again, most of that we can carry over into next year.
And we're moving that rate study. We're holding off on that rate study because we know that we need to plan for that pipeline, and that will go into what we need to do because we can't just raise people's rates. We have to do a rate study in order to do that, correct?
Correct, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, so moving on to Zone 8. This is the revenue side. Again, the property tax that you see there, up through April, this represents, again, about 95% of the monies that we anticipate to receive for the year. And again, we're prorating the budget there, so you can see we're slightly higher than what we thought from a budgetary perspective. And again, you see going through here, we're doing well compared with our program fees, community center, $51,245. The other community center fee that you see there, again, this is coming from our developers, and again, those fees will be put into reserves so that we can use them towards capital projects. So going forward, that will have some of the items there. And it was not anticipated, we did not allocate any budget towards interest, but again, you see here about $57,000 worth of interest. So overall, you can see our revenues are higher than budget. And it's, again, some of these sort of unplanned items that have gone into our favor field for the fiscal year 23-24.
And just to clarify for the public,
yeah.
Those fees we put into reserve for capital projects can only be used for zoning capital projects.
That is correct, yes.
Thank you.
All right, so turning over to the next page, this is the expenses. I've separated between community center as well as the next page will be on specifically landscaping. Community center here, you see here, it's about $300,000 compared to $439,000. Again, we're seeing savings into our salary and benefits. Part of it is sort of a timing thing as it relates to, if you will, the seasonal staff support that we have. So they're there at the beginning of the year. sort of have a shift, if you will, of staffing versus contract labor. We're using more of a conservation board to support us, not only here in Zone 9, but in all of our sort of landscape spaces, if you will. And so you can see the slightly higher costs, if you will, for facility maintenance. We do see lower costs as it relates to salary. Overall, though, you can see that we're still within our budget. So that's what we're trying to reflect here on this page. All right, so that takes us through sort of our operating programs. Just wanted to give you a quick update on our capital projects. So first here to our water projects. We have some ongoing projects, including the marina, the Newport Willow filter repair, and then well 8. You can see the dollars that are being spent here on each of those projects. Again, with well 8, we did go out in 2022 to get some bond funds, and so we've spent some of those dollars for some equipment, if you will. Right now, there are sort of engineering services, if you will, that are being paid out of district funds at this moment. But as we move forward with the construction part of it, we will start to see some bigger dollars being spent in the district, in the bond funds. And you'll see a slide later that shows you how much money is available for that. All right, on wastewater, we have the diffuser. That project was completed this year, and so we will make sure that those costs are accounted for, as well as D&I project there, and you can see the
that
project there, again, we did go out in 2022 to use those funds, if you will, so we will have fully expended those dollars there for that. And then, of course, the balance came from district funds to be able to support that.
Like, it seems like such a big number, but we were discussing a couple meetings ago just casually about other districts that were having to do the denitrification that was, like, well into, you know, $50, $100 million. So as much as it was such a huge stress to us financially and everything else, I think it was good that we did it first.
Yeah, definitely.
Because those costs have gone up exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, there's always that conversation around should we cash fund it, debt finance it. You know, this is one of those long-term assets where debt financing, where appropriate, can make sense. If we can plan for it long enough to have $13 million sitting in your banks,
yeah,
you can certainly do that. But then people question, too, why do you have so much cash?
Yeah.
So you have to balance that conversation when you're talking about your capital projects, about how you are planning ahead for those particular items. And so that's, I think, what this board has been doing. Next slide has to do with our landscape projects. So we have some ongoing projects with Cornell Park. That is being funded with Prop 68 funding. I believe that the last of the work was completed here at the end of May. So as a result of that, we will then do our hopefully second and final submission to them to get the balance of the funds to support our share. We did have a 20% share that we needed to contribute towards this project, but then the balance from the state towards that project.
And that's Zone 8, correct?
That is Zone 8, correct. And then Clipper Drive as well is Zone 8, and you can see the dollars being spent there. This is where we were using some of our funds that we had set aside from the Hoffman funds to be able to pay for this project. And so you can see the project costs to date. And then whatever is not being funded there was going to be funded, and it was discussed there that the district would fund the balance of that. So that's us there. And then I know that Monica's very proud, and as she should be, the community center patio project is complete, and so we spent about $121,000 on that project there, and so that did fall within her original amount plus the 20%, and so I told her you did well.
Good job.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
We were able to really enhance the look, and didn't see people enjoy it today, so that was lovely.
That's great.
To see as well.
And that's also Zone 8, correct?
That is Zone 8 as well, thank you. All right, next slide refers to our debt portfolio, and again, just a reminder of sort of what our current debt is outstanding. We do pay debt on December 1st for the principal and then an interest, and then on June 1st we have our interest payments that are done. So the district has already paid those funds have been transferred to the trustee, and they are making those payments to the bond holders, if you will, for that.
questions for you. What is our balance on the Hoffman Funds? You know, off the top of your head?
It's about $1 million or so. Again, we're starting to spend some of those dollars associated with it, and there is some intent to use some of those funds in fiscal year 24-25, using a good balance of them. Again, assuming that as we bring those projects forward, the board still sees those as appropriate using those funds. But we have drawn down, again, for the Clipper project to be able to do that, a portion actually for the patio project, about $78,000 or so. So we're slowly taking down on those funds.
And the Hoffman Fund can only be used for Zone 8 stuff, correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
Any trends that you're seeing or any concerns that you have as far as
I just, again, I think, you know, going back and, you know, as part of the budgetary process, looking at the 10-year trend, and I know I shared a 5-year trend, but really just understanding the cost trends that are there, I think is going to be beneficial from the water wastewater perspective to feed into, if you will, to our rate study, but for our Zone 8. Certainly, I know we've had some discussions here at committee as to are there other ways to bring in revenues to support the ongoing to support the program. I will just share with you, you know, year over year on the Zone 8, for instance, it went up $31,000. I will tell you our expenses went up more than $31,000.
Yeah.
And so, but having that sort of long-term view is important for us to make sure that we're not only planning for today, but into the future as well. And so, and to make some of those more strategic decisions around funding sources and how we are incurring costs and supporting this community.
Ashley? No, I just really appreciate the in-depth detail that you've done on this again, and it's a fresh breath there to kind of understand where we're at on a, you know, monthly, quarterly basis, and so thank you.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it. All right, and with that, shall we go on to discussion items?
I will stay up here.
Just stay right there.
I've got a whole slew of things for you today. So, Dina, do you want to do any introductions?
Okay, it's all you.
All right, very good. So, again, as coming in here, I do, in addition just to look at budgetary and long-term financial planning, I do look at best practices. So I'll say the balance of the agenda today is really around those best practices. This one has to do with looking at the audit services that we're required to do and to ensure that we are making sure that we are getting not just a sort of stamp of approval, and I'm not saying that our previous one was doing that or not, I'm just saying it's, you know, I look at an auditor as an opportunity to really partner with us to ensure that we are following best practices, both in our ways that we look at our accounting, our reporting, our internal controls, making sure that we're safeguarding the assets here for the district. And so as part of that process, I did go through a request for proposal, or RFP for short, and looked at, you know, seeing if we're getting the right price points, if you will, right services for the district. So I did, like I said, put out a request for proposal to 12 auditing firms with the deliverables of being to perform that financial audit, to look at our internal controls, to make sure that if there are any irregular activities, that they are communicated to your general manager or to the finance manager, to the board. To suggest any sort of management letter comments, we did get some great comments from our current provider, and so that, you know, allows us to continue to, again, look at ways to safeguard our assets here. Of course, drafting the financial statements, and then we have always enjoyed, if you will, that the auditors help us to prepare one of those required reports, which is the State Controller's Office Financial Transactions Report. So it's a required reporting that we have to do within 7 months of your fiscal year end. So that essentially is January 31st. And so we did get two proposals, one from our incumbent and one from another firm called CLA. So did go through that process, looking at the make sure that, again, I understood sort of the full depth and scope, if you will, of the firms that are there. Based off of that, and looking at those scores, the higher score and is GCLA. They are having a local presence, if you will, with a national oversight, if you will. And so they are able to stay on top of the latest sort of pronouncements, if you will, that we are undoubtedly have to face with them. What's called the Government and County Standards Boards. And so the most recent one had to do with your subscription-based information technology softwares. Small things, all that stuff, but big things, if you will, in the world of accounting. Previous ones had to do with leases. Upcoming is your financial reporting. It can change the way your financial report looks going forward, and so that's intended to come out in about a couple of years from now. And so having that sort of knowledge point about where GASB is going and preparing for it is something that I think is important for us to be aware of, so that we're not behind the ball, but rather working towards it. With this process here with the request for proposal, it's not based on the lowest bid. In fact, the GMOA, which is a national association for finance officers in the government space, do recommend looking at multi-year contract and looking at best value as opposed to lowest price. And so that's why you see the sort of score matrix, if you will, here. And so while the incumbent, if you will, had a lower price, if you will, I do feel that the other firm can provide us that sort of forward-looking aspect that's there. One other key factor is just the use of technology is something that even the auditing standards are looking at, and so they'll be looking more deeply at an agency and just making sure that they are protecting, if you will, the data integrity, if you will, of your data at the agency. Plus, just looking at any ways to have efficiencies in the way that they do their work and the way that we work together. So with that, the final point I'll just make is that I think one of the great things that I've experienced and see the value of is a couple things. One is right now we're just doing an audit financial statement, and it just provides you a one-year look, if you will, at your financials. What I'd like for the district here to consider is what's referred to an annual comprehensive financial report. So it's made up of three parts. The first part is just an introduction, who are you? Second part has to do with the audited financial statements. And the third part has to do with your 10-year sort of statistical section. And what's nice about that, and again, it helps to show that 10-year trend. It shows you not only from a fiscal standpoint, but also maybe operationally, and like how are your sales compared to this year to 10 years ago, so you can understand trend information. And so I think that is a good thing for us to consider putting forth here. And so certainly that's something I'd like to do for the next audit period of time. And with that, then, following again best practices, is just the Government Finance Officers Association, GFOA. They have this excellent financial reporting, and so it helps us to make sure that our report is following best practices. It's transparent where we maybe need to improve on some of those aspects there, and so it allows us to make sure, and you have a third-party reviewer to make sure that you are meeting those needs, and you get like a nice little certificate just to reflect that you think you've done a job well done, and I think that's something that the public can be proud of, that you've done a good job with it. So with that as the context, we are looking at a recommendation here, and again, this is just to have you provide feedback. This will be considered at a later board meeting. Is to provide feedback on the three-year agreement with CLA for a not-to-exceed amount of $146,285 to perform the annual audit, financial audit and submission of financial reports to the State Controller's Office for the fiscal years 24, 25, and 26. With that, I'll pause for any questions.
What are our costs? What do we pay now for produce?
So this last year, we paid a little around $40,000. It had been a little bit lower, but because we had a debt issuance in 2022, 2023, we went to
it's more comprehensive, it sounds like.
Well, I think that, again, Croce did a really great job. I enjoyed working with them. And I think the other part of it is, you know, a different perspective might be nice for us to look at. But also, I do think that there are more things that they can certainly have from the other things as it relates to the the auditing standards that might be coming up that we need to, or the GASB statements that might be coming up that we need to really hone in on and just be prepared for. So.
How long have we been with CSB?
I defer to Tia.
Yeah, so we have been with them since their first, the first audit we've ever done with the Discovery Bank. So
it's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah, it was, I feel like it was 2004, I believe, because I know before that they had 3 years of audits to catch up on if they didn't do audits.
And have we gone out to bid since then?
So when I first got here, I think a year or two after I got here, we did go out to RFP.
So we've gone out to bid like one time, they've changed their auditor, but really we've had the same auditor for 20 plus years.
The same firm.
Same firm.
Same firm.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So it used to be
layman's
term. A company, and then they branched off and created a purchase equity and reactor meeting, and we went with them. So it is the same firm.
I'm in support of it. I think it's a good fiscal practice to change not just your auditor, but sometimes your auditing firms. And we have a lot of stuff planned for the next 5 to 10 years that I think, you know, maybe a new set of eyes would be beneficial.
I couldn't agree with you more. Any other questions?
I don't have any other
questions. Do we have any public comment? Okay, with that, do we need to?
I would recommend that we recommend it to the board.
Yes.
To vote on.
I'm in agreement.
With that board, thank you.
Okay, Margaret, next step. All right. So, as I mentioned, continuing with the sort of best practices, I did take a look at the the financial the district policies, let me step back, the district policies and the ones that have a sort of financial overview, if you will. There are several that are on there, and so you'll start to see over the next few months, if you will, me just sort of saying I've reviewed it, we're good, or hey, can you consider some additional language, if you will, to enhance, if you will, those particular ones. So this one here is financial policy number 31. This was originally adopted in September 2021 by the board, and it outlined a number of features, if you will, around accounts payable, monthly invoicing for water, wastewater, your tax roll, cash receipts, petty cash, and then it had references to other financial policies. So again, as reviewing the overall financial policy and just looking at what is our current practice and what are best practices going forward, there are a set of recommendations here for the committee to consider. And again, this is just for your feedback. With your input, we can then certainly bring it forth to the board if you desire. So on the first page that you see here, just those 5 points really capture, if you will, the essence, if you will, the significant changes there. There are other edits, if you will, that have been made throughout the document, and you'll see a redlined version that's there. I've also provided you what that draft resolution would look like when the board does consider it. I have slated it for June, but if the committee would like to take additional time, you can certainly do so. But let me just start to go through what those edits are for you. So to begin, I wanted just to take us down to the first section here, which is starting on F22. I don't believe that those page numbers. They all say F22. So the first page of F22 is the first section there is, we had a section there called to get those kind of fundings from the federal government, we would have to ensure that a single audit is performed. So rather than using that sort of space that's there, I wanted to make sure that we were a bit more clear as it relates to the bank accounts and cash management. And so some of the language was in a different section and I did move it up. But I also wanted to just make sure that, again, we round out, if you will, the reference to this particular, from this policy to the other standalone policy on investment policy, which is investment policy 003 for the district here. And just to ensure that, again, we are making sort of a correlation, if you will, between those two policies. Again, this says here the district shall maintain separate bank accounts for each fund. Again, it's heard earlier today, we do have different funds that we need to manage separately. So we need to have one for water, one for wastewater, one for zone 8, one for zone 9. We have one for, you know, our bond funds and all that. So we do track each of those separately, and so we have separate accounts to account for those items. The section 8 that you see there was language that was in a different section, so it's not necessarily new. I just moved it up here, and it basically says that the board of directors will designate a bank, a savings and loans association, or a credit union as the depositary for the district funds. And again, the district has done that. Again, there was a recent change made by the board in March of 2023 when we switched from our local bank to a more regional bank, referred to as Bi-Star Bank. So on the second part there, where you see B, this is again a change to current practice. And I think the overall say comment that I will make here is trying to protect the parties that are involved here. The day-to-day transactions, if you will, are taken care of by your staff, if you will. That is, you know, myself and Dina have access to those funds, to move those funds and to do certain things. The board members are also on our current signature cards. I will just tell you sort of best practices is not to necessarily have your board members involved on those funds, because you don't want to have a board member to be able to walk into a bank and go, I'll take those funds, please. And so trying to protect, if you will, the directors and those things. And again, we have internal controls here that allows us to say one function can't be done by one person, it has to have a backup person to do. So one initiates, one approves, and that's what we currently do. And so the language here says authorized signers of the account shall include the general manager, the assistant general manager, and finance manager. The district may include other officers on the bank signature card when deemed necessary. So if the board does want to say, can I put the board president on there or something to that effect, certainly can do that. The way sometimes that public agencies may also consider that is if they had a board-appointed sort of treasurer. We don't have that. Our Dina serves as our treasurer, as the general manager. So again, she serves as your treasurer. And again, it's trying to put the controls that are in that space there. So that is, I'll say, one of the more significant changes to this policy or to the what's been experienced. But it certainly is something that I certainly am familiar with and has worked with at my previous agency. I know many have done the same. So let me just pause there to see if there's any questions before we move on to the next. So,
no, I'm good.
No, I think they're good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, so the next section that you see there is your internal controls. I just wanted to be a bit more stated out there more publicly, if you will, sort of what the internal controls are, and just indicate that the finance manager is responsible for implementing an effective internal control program. And so it's, you know, me making sure that you know, again, that as things are happening there, you know, with bank deposits or with authorized signatures on invoices or something like that, that again, we're making sure that there is sort of The other thing is that I did leave language in there as it relates to, you know, the job duties for the other employment positions, because again, the finance department does see the monies coming across their desk in a variety of different ways, and so again, I want to enhance, if you will, that, you know, they will still have that those roles. It's not that, you know, the finance director is solely responsible, it's just that they are responsible to make sure that good internal controls are in place. And then you can see here on the next page where it says, you see that big red block that was pulled out, and that was the one that was moved up to the previous section there. So it's not that I've deleted it, it's just moved it. All right, so the next section you see here has to do with duties, if you will, of the finance manager, and I kind of changed the title to be instead of responsibilities or duties of the finance manager to financial reporting. We are responsible to do a number of things, as you know. Most notably, we talked about the financial audits and the budget, but I also wanted you to be aware that when required, we are to do a single audit. So again, taking that language that was sort of a standalone statement and just saying when appropriate we will do it. If you go on to the next line item, which says F, which is that we would do the state controller's office report, and we'll do that. We are also required to do an annual compensation report, so for every employee that is paid, we are required to submit that information up to the state controller's office. I believe we have a deadline of until April to do that, so we are required to complete that. Next one is that we are required to adhere to our continuing disclosure certificate. Most notably, we are required to submit our annual financial reports, if you will, to EMMA, which stands for the Electronic Municipal Market Access. So again, as we sign off on those bond documents, one of the key documents we sign off on is a continuing disclosure certificate, and that tells you that you have an ongoing commitment to be transparent and share that information out there. And it goes to one place, so anybody from an investor to a financial advisor, a bond counsel, other public agencies can see that information. It's all safeguarded in that one space. We are also required, number H, to submit to CDAC, which is the California Debt and Investment Advisory Commission. There's a couple different reports. Those ones are the Mark Bruce reports. That's because we have a public financing authority, so that one we're required to do by October each year. And then we're also required to do an annual disclosure report that's due in January each year. So again, making sure that it's visible what is the responsibilities of the finance department to make sure that all this information is being communicated out to the different sources, be it the state, state office, the municipal market, if you will. And then the final point there is I just referenced that we will, you know, all our financial transactions will follow district policies. I'll say that most specifically, I think it's referring to really our purchasing policy, and but there are other policies like our reserve policy, our debt policy as well. So we just made a more general statement there. So this one is just, I think, providing more information to you. Again, this is something just so that you know what we are responsible for. It allows you to sort of see that and the public to see what it is. The next one is our cash disbursements. Our cash disbursements, I did make a change on this one too. I know the current practice here is that we prepare our bi-weekly RFAs, which are our cash disbursements, if you will, and ask for board approval to pay them. Again, following best practices, your purchasing policy actually tells you that you have the authority to enter into those particular items, if you will. And so if you're following into, you know, adhering to these are can be done under the general manager authority or meets the board authority, once you've secured either that purchase order, that agreement to work with them, and they deliver that service, that good, you know, we have to pay that invoice. So again, trying to follow through on best practices is trying to see that we are making sure that we can continue to be efficient in our processes and go ahead and change that up so that the general manager and the finance manager will decide what needs to be dispersed, on that weekly basis, bi-weekly basis. But then on a monthly basis, we would report back to you, hey, last month I made all these disbursements. I think it's efficient use of the time that's there. The other thing, and that goes into the next section on accounts payable, and then the next one has to do with just again taking sort of the current practices around paying our vendors by either ACH or wires, really trying to safeguard the assets without not having to worry about check fraud, but rather to do those ACH payments that are there. And then the other edits, if you go throughout the rest of the document, are just wordsmithing, if you will, rather than having a specific title listed, I would set district staff or finance staff so that if there are name changes, we don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's those edits there. And again, other wordsmithing. And then I'll just get to the accounting for fixed assets, which is section 13. That one there, I did strike that language there because the next policy is to have a standalone capitalization policy. And so this really just says we're going to, have another policy there, which the next one in line is number 34. So I'll just take a pause there. We're getting towards the end time for this committee, but I wanted to make sure I go through all of that and then, like I said, go into the last policy for you.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Ashley, any questions? No, this is good. I think it's very smart.
I think it's all stuff that needed to be done.
Yeah, and leaps and bounds. Yeah, that's great.
Awesome.
All right, let's go to the next one.
All right. Last one that we have here is the capitalization policy. So again, this is meant for the accountant to me, but again, this is a really good way to really make sure that we're accounting for the expenditures, the cash outlay that we have, in an appropriate way that really looks to what is the nature of that cost, the value of that cost, and the life of that cost, meaning what is that useful life of the asset. So for instance, this building, how many years does it have,
mm-hmm.
how do we do certain things, what costs can be included, what costs should be excluded. And so this really goes into great detail. It does, again, follow best practices around the Government Finance Officers Association, and it really aligns and involves sort of where we can take certain costs and account for it. At the end of the day, I say in the memo, what are the objectives that are there? They're the same that shows in the policy. Previously, we had a capitalization threshold of $1,000, so if anything was greater than $1,000, we would capitalize it. But if anything's above $1,000, you've got to track it, you've got to report it, you've got to do all those things. And so that's a lot of data to manage. So best practices, again, is to at a minimum be at $5,000. So I've changed it to $5,000 in 3 years. So if any asset has more than $5,000 in value in 3 years of useful life, we will capitalize it. And I think that's a good practice to have ahead as well. Again, this is an entirely new policy, so there's no red line in this section here, but that's something for you to consider as well. And with that concludes this slide for you.
It's all good. Well, you breezed through that. That was all excellent.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for such detailed orientation again.
Yes,
I think all of these things are great.
Oh, it helped us all greatly.
Yep.
Any public comment? Okay. Do we need to do anything now?
No. Do you recommend moving?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we need to make a motion on that or just say yes? Okay. I'd like to make a
I recommend. I think we should move all the policies stated today forward to the board. 2024.
So in agreement. Yes.
10.
All right. So.
All of it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any future agenda items? No? And with that, we will adjourn the finance committee meeting.